40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's begin with boxing. Newly crowned IBF champion Anthony Joshua says he'll now focus on staying on top of the heavyweight division after a second-round knockout of American Charles Martin in London.
I want to maintain now. It's one thing getting there, and it's harder to stay there. So I'm going to get my head down, knuckle down even more. And I think that sky's the limit, you know. I've done it so early on, so imagine what we can achieve in the next 5 to 10 years.
4 years ago, also in London, Anthony Joshua won the Olympic gold medal in the super heavyweight division. The muscular 26-year-old Joshua is only the second boxer in history after the late Smokin' Joe Frazier to win a professional world heavyweight title while still reigning as the Olympic champion at the top weight. The British fans in London cheered loudly for Joshua, who is of Nigerian descent, after he knocked down Martin twice with powerful right hands. But another British heavyweight champion, Tyson Fury, who holds several title belts, was not impressed with Joshua's performance. Fury wrote on Twitter, "So AJ gets a belt, looks slow, ponderous, and still look like a bodybuilder. Let me slay the lamb." Responding to the criticism, AJ had some advice for Tyson Fury.
Just focus on his own career, really. Get himself together. He's in a great place right now. He's champion of the world. We've got two heavyweight champions of the world in the UK right now. And we should be aiming to get a fight on one day and supporting each other, bringing the attention back to boxing. But instead, he's just bringing his attention direct at me, complaining about my physique, my this, my that. If he can do a better job, then maybe he should come join me in camp and help me. Regarding Tyson Fury, he's got his own date set, July 9th, with Klitschko. He's got a rematch. So let him get that out of the way. And I can't really predict his plans, but I think it'll happen within the next 12 months because I said around 6 months ago it happened in 18 months. So I can't keep on adding time and time and time to these dates. So it's going to get closer and closer and closer, and I'd like to happen sometime before the year ends or early next year.
That's Anthony Joshua, the new International Boxing Federation heavyweight champion, talking about his timetable for fighting Tyson Fury. And let's not forget American Deontay Wilder, who is the reigning World Boxing Council heavyweight champion. Wilder will defend his crown May 21st when he takes on Russia's Alexander Povetkin in Moscow. For reaction to Anthony Joshua's knockout victory in London, we turn once again to our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta.
Before the fight, I said we needed a statement fight, and he delivered. You know, and I said, too, that he must finish this fight in an explosive way, which he delivered, and it was an explosive heavyweight. And I said before, there's nothing like seeing a heavyweight on the floor and the referee counted. Saturday night, the referee could have counted to 1,000. There was just Maxwell would have still been on the floor.
Do you think AJ is the next great heavyweight, Namdi?
Sonny, the AJ is the grand poobah of boxing. Forget all these pretenders, man. When you pay to see a heavyweight title fight, you expect a knockout. And this is one fighter that can deliver a knockout. Not only is he a performer, but he is a gentleman. And he's what we need in the game of boxing
today.
Wow.
Namdi, tell our VOA boxing fans about AJ's ties to
Unbelievable. His parents are from Nigeria.
Okay. And then, I'll check it out.
If you look at the fight, after the fight Saturday, during the interview, on his left shoulder is a complete map of Africa. And in this map of Africa, spotlight there was a map of Nigeria, telling the whole world that he is African and also he's a Nigerian, a true Niger boy.
True Niger boy. And that true Niger boy, Namdi, I think only one of his fights has gone past three rounds. He's now unbeaten, 16-0. If you can take him into the later rounds, is he beatable?
Well, we can say in the later rounds, he will end up with a jello leg, you know, or a rubber leg, you know. He has no chin, you know. But do we really need to see him in the 7th, 8th round if he can take you out in the first three rounds? No, you know, we will never know. Tyson Fury, David Haye, they can scream all they want. They may end up on the floor in the first three rounds.
You mentioned Tyson Fury, Namdi, and he took to Twitter to criticize Anthony Joshua. He called him slow and ponderous, and it would be like a lamb being served for slaughter if he fought AJ. Your thoughts on that tweet by Fury?
Look at who is talking, Motomouth Tyson Fury. He's an ugly fighter. He has no style, you know. He's a wonky dude, bro. The only way we pay to see him fight because he has the belt. We tell the belt, Tyson Fury is nothing, you know. He can say all he wants about homeboy Anthony Joshua, man. And also, fight night, after the fight, Anthony Joshua ordered a pound of pounded yam and the goosey soup, you know. So with the pounded yam and a goosey soup, Tyson Fury has no way to hang on there till the 6th round.
Namdi, AJ has talked about a timetable for fighting Tyson Fury. He said he would love to fight him later in 2016, but if not then, early in 2017. Do you see a Fury-AJ fight taking place this year?
Well, Tyson Fury has to settle with Vladimir Klitschko. Klitschko may end up taking his title back from Tyson Fury. And that's happening July 9th in Manchester, in London, in the UK. The same night that Anthony Joshua will be heading to Wembley. Tyson Fury to shut up and get ready for July 9th with Klitschko, because we may not see AJ and Tyson Fury if Tyson Fury on the 9th of July cannot beat Vladimir Klitschko. He talks a lot and he just has to back it up in the ring. He's not a knockout puncher like AJ.
Namdi, let's not forget Deontay Wilder, the WBC heavyweight champion. He'll fight next month in Moscow against Russia's Alexander Povetkin. Where does Wilder fit into this heavyweight jigsaw puzzle?
Sonny, ask yourself this question. How come the best heavyweight in America is fighting in Russia? He has $400 million backing him. It's a good chance Deontay Wilder may lose that fight to Povetkin. Povetkin's a good fighter. So this is the best heavyweight from the U.S. and going to Russia to fight. I don't know, man, because I like to see him keep his belt, because the big fight here in America is Deontay Wilder against Anthony Joshua, man. That will sell out the Grand Casino or the T-Mobile Arena. But him going into Russia to defend his title, it's a scary situation.
Speaking of sellouts, Namdi, the Martin Joshua fight sold out in 90 seconds, the O2 Arena. Why would Joshua fight anywhere but London? They seem to love him in the British capital.
Sonny, that is 20,000 people at the O2 Arena with millions of eyeballs. I mean, we watched this fight live in America in the afternoon, and it was rebroadcast in the evening. He is a huge star right now. Why will he come to America? Because he needs to develop pay-per-view. This is where the bread and butter is for a fighter. If you're a pay-per-view fighter, everybody, you will make tons of money. Go and look at Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. He can destroy all these guys in London, but you must come to the mecca of boxing, and the mecca of boxing is the U.S. And the deal there is for you to be able to fight on pay-per-view, which is possible for Anthony Joshua, but it has to come out of O2 Arena, come out of Wembley Stadium, do the T-Mobile Arena, do Staples Center, and even do the Cowboy Stadium, and then we can pay $80, $120 to see him destroy guys, and that's going to happen.
Namdi, it sounds like Anthony Joshua has definitely picked up the heavyweight division a little bit with that knockout in London. Sounds like you're more excited about the big boys now, Namdi.
Sonny, I've been in this game for more than 30 years, Sonny. if the division is dead, it's because the heavyweight division is dead. The heavyweight division brings excitement. If we have a fighter that can knock guys out, people pay to see blood. People pay to see a man on the floor. That was why during the days of Mike Tyson, you better be in front of your TV because it may be over if you go looking for your beer in the fridge.
What about the experience factor, Namdi? AJ has only 16 professional fights. Is that going to hurt him down the road?
Well, his handlers will do the best thing for him. There's no need for him to fight a tiger right now. Pick up one of the guys in the top 15. Put him in there with Anthony Joshua at the O2 Arena or Wembley Stadium. That will sell out. The TV will buy. He does not need Deontay Wilder now. He does not even need David Haye or Tyson Fury right now. Get him a couple of easy fights. People will buy it. And then wait for these guys to age a little bit, 2017, and then just put them in with Anthony Joshua and watch him destroy them.
We'll talk more about Anthony Joshua, Namdi, but let's go to the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. You were ringside over the weekend for Manny Pacquiao, his unanimous decision victory over Timothy Bradley. Your thoughts on that fight, Namdi?
Sonny, if you remember, I said during my last visit to Wildcard Gym right here in Hollywood that the old Manny Pacquiao, I saw the old Manny Pacquiao, but I did not believe he will be able to execute in the ring Saturday night. I did not believe he'd be able to pull the trigger. He surprised me. And those two knockdowns, man, those were just good fights. Those were the good knockdowns. And, you know, we really enjoyed it. It was a great fight, Sonny.
Will he fight again, the Pac-Man?
Well, he didn't say he will stay retired. But the door is open for him to come back because there are big, big money fights in front. And I think you don't walk away from big money. In the past, it's always the fighter hanging along too long, staying around too long, hanging around, and he doesn't know when to quit. And we say, quit, quit, quit. Now is the fighter saying, I want to quit. The fans don't want him to quit. The promoter don't want him to quit, you know.
Namdi, you expressed some criticism about the pay-per-view sales ahead of this Pacquiao-Bradley #3. What was the crowd's reception like for the Pac-Man?
I arrived in Vegas. There was no buzz for the fight. Even in the arena, it was not sold out. It was like more like 12,000 people. The pay-per-view, we're looking at maybe 400,000 buy, which is still good. He's guaranteed 20 million, so he may pocket 30 million. So he didn't go home crying, you know. We enjoyed the fight with two knockdowns. Two guys stood and fought, so nothing to complain about. He delivered. He's an exciting fighter. He's a legend. You know, I'm talking about Manny Pacquiao.
Namdi, Manny Pacquiao improved his record to 58 wins, 6 losses, and 2 draws with his victory over Timothy Bradley. And we'll hear more hard-hitting verbal jabs from Namdi Hollywood Moueta in the days to come, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. Now let's go to the southern U.S. city of Augusta, Georgia, where Danny Willett has become only the second Englishman to win the coveted green jacket given to the Masters golf champion. Willett took advantage of a shocking back nine meltdown by defending champion Jordan Spieth of the United States and ended up beating Spieth and fellow Englishman Lee Westwood by 3 strokes. Willett posted a 5-under par total of 283, and he won a first-place prize of $1,800,000. It was the first major title for the 28-year-old Willett, whose victory came less than 2 weeks after his wife gave birth to a baby boy. How do you feel about your victory, Danny?
Yeah, still not quite sunken yet. Just a great week. We said we had to do something pretty special today, and you know, obviously 67, I wasn't quite sure if it was going to be enough, and win by 3 is pretty special. So it's not going to sink in for a while, I don't think. Words can't describe, you know, the feelings and what's going on and what we've got to do and everything like that and what we've just done, you know, what we've just accomplished.
While Danny Willett celebrates his big Masters accomplishment, Jordan Spieth settles for a share of second place and wonders what might have been. Spieth seemed to be headed towards a second consecutive Masters title, but he bogeyed the 10th and 11th holes and then suffered a nightmare 7 at the par 3 12th hole.
I went bogey, bogey, quad. I went 5-5-7, was playing a dream come true front nine, and then I knew par was good enough, and maybe that was what hurt me. At one point, I told Mike, I said, buddy, it seems like we're collapsing. And, you know, I wanted to be brutally honest with the way I felt towards him so that he could then respond with what is necessary to get us to rebound, and he did. And we rebounded. I hit a great drive. I hit a good 7-iron. I got a tough break, and I made 2 birdies coming in and almost made a couple more. But, boy, you wonder about not only just the tee shot on 12, but why can't you just control the second shot and make 5 at worst, and you're still tied for the lead. So, big picture, this one will hurt.
Still with the big picture, Jordan Spieth is only 22 years old, and he figures to be a top contender for future Masters titles. The lanky Texan also won the U.S. Open Golf Crown last year. As I mentioned, Danny Willett is only the second Englishman to win the Masters Championship. Englishman Nick Faldo won the Masters green jacket in 1989, 1990, and 1996. The Sunny Side of Sports welcomes your comments. You can send me email at sunny@voanews.com. Sunny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. And pick up a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. My full postal mailing address is The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
In National Basketball Association news, the reigning champion Golden State Warriors defeated the host San Antonio Spurs Sunday night 92-86 for their record-tying 72nd win of the regular season. The Warriors equaled the mark set by Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls 20 years ago. Golden State can set a new record of 73 wins if they beat the visiting Memphis Grizzlies Wednesday night in the final game of the regular season for both clubs. Sharpshooting guard Stephen Curry, the NBA's leading scorer, once again led the Warriors, firing in a game-high 37 points Sunday night. Steph says the Warriors are excited about going for the record Wednesday night on their home court in Oakland, California.
It means a lot because that's the opportunity we have in front of us. Obviously, going into the season, you didn't really expect to be, you know, one game away from doing something that's never been done in history, but we've earned the right to play a 48-minute game to end the regular season to accomplish that. So we're going to approach it the right way, have fun with it in front of our home fans. I mean, what more could you ask for to get ready for a playoff push?
And in terms of that playoff push, Steph Curry and the Warriors are seeded number one overall. The NBA playoffs will officially tip off on Saturday, April 16th. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Andrew, what's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Oh, not much really in the NBA. It's now, of course, it's the Golden State Warriors. They're on the cusp of this record, and this is capturing all, forget social media, this is sports attention in the U.S. and around the world, but certainly on social media, we're seeing everybody watching Golden State, waiting to see if they can best this record. Certainly over the weekend, there were a lot of eyes on Golden State as they went into San Antonio. Now, there were two kind of streaks on the line here that people maybe didn't realize. Golden State looking to go for this record of 73 wins, and they tied it, getting 72, by beating San Antonio. But San Antonio had that home win streak.
That's right.
They could have been the first
unbeaten
team
at home.
They could have been the first team ever to be undefeated at home, and by losing, they didn't get there. But Everyone on social media is excited about this. A lot of comparisons to that 95-96 Bulls team that they've now tied. They said, if these two teams played against each other, who would win? A lot of speculation about that, a lot of back and forth on which team is the better team, looking at the overall scope of the NBA and what they're competing against. And then Mike Greenberg, who's a reporter on ESPN, the sports network here in the U.S., said they made every game meaningful or mean something. And that's really true. I think if you look at across social media as we look through this NBA season, every time Steph Curry, you know, does something amazing, that became a social media trend. As they progressed and were undefeated for a good chunk of the season, that was a big social media trend. So this team has really captured a lot of social media attention throughout the course of this NBA season.
And I think it's natural that we draw comparisons with that Bulls team of 95-96. One member of that team, he was kind of Michael Jordan's wingman, Scottie Pippen, has said publicly that he thinks that Bulls team would be able to stop the Warriors. And he even went so far as to say, I would cover Stephen Curry. Well, so I don't know about that.
That's the fun of it all, is that, you know, and absent, you know, some kind of time travel, we're never going to have these two teams play each other. So it's all this speculation. And we see this all the time on social media and sports, comparing in, you know, baseball or tennis or all these sports, really, the players of yesteryear, the greats of yesteryear, and how they would stack up against the players today. So this is no exception.
And I know we were talking on Friday, Andrew, that we were wondering whether the Warriors would rest their players these last few games of the season, but it sure sounds like they're going to go after the record now on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. You know, people are saying, oh, it's a lock now. They're at home. It's against the Memphis Grizzlies. But somebody pointed out on social media, they said, wait a minute, they were actually trailing Memphis 78-70 going into the fourth quarter on Saturday night. So nothing's a given for this team. They have to fight. And I think that's something that a lot of people have emphasized as well, is that this isn't just as though they're so good that this has been, you know, a cakewalk for them. They've really had to fight for this. And so that's something that people are really praising them for.
Psychologically, Andrew, do you think the fact that Golden State won on San Antonio's home court, should they meet in the playoffs, maybe they have a little upmanship on them now that they've won in San Antonio?
Oh, this is a big debate, too. Is, you know, is it the fact that they won and beat San Antonio, that they stole that, you know, perfect at-home record from San Antonio? Does that give them a psychological boost? Or is San Antonio come in as kind of an underdog looking for revenge? And time will tell.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, the Masters finished up yesterday at Augusta National, and we had Jordan Spieth, last year's winner, unfortunately falling on Sunday afternoon. He had two shots in the water on the 12th hole, which kind of sealed his fate, came in second. And golf great Jack Nicklaus went to Twitter and said, you know, the whole world kind of feels for Jordan Spieth, and gave him some encouraging words, a nice statement online. But the winner, Danny Willett, is only, I think, the second Englishman to ever win the Masters. So congrats to Danny Willett. But really, lots of people are saying the star isn't Danny Willett. It's his brother, PJ okay. Willett. Because he was live tweeting during his brother's play at the Masters. And some of the things he wrote were just, you know, so hysterically funny and just kind of outrageous. My favorite, he's actually pinned this to the top of his Twitter page. And this is very apropos, because yesterday was National Siblings Day.
That's
on
right.
Social media. Today is National Pet Day. And so he writes, speechless, I once punched that kid in the head for hurting my pet rat. Now look. So it's, you know, you get, and as we've talked about on the show, you get this inside look as to, you know, the players' personal lives. You get to see a little bit of the behind the scenes through social media. And in this case, it's not necessarily coming from Danny Willett. It's coming from his brother. Although Danny Willett actually did tweet out, he has, it looks like he's holding up a drink, kind of toasting in the green okay. jacket and saying, cheers, everyone. But from his brother, we're getting these really behind the scenes, maybe, you know, the kind of embarrassing stories that you wouldn't want your siblings necessarily telling about.
That only a brother would,
that
would
share. Only a brother could share. And, you know, and also, you know, PJ Willett himself, you know, he had a bottle of champagne that he tweeted a picture of and said, I just downed this. I hope my work understands if I, you know, don't come in tomorrow. I'm just so excited. So it was a really nice to kind of see his excitement for his brother play out and see these little behind-the-scenes moments, almost being in the kind of cheering section with PJ Willett, cheering for his brother.
And I know the Masters tradition has the reigning champion giving the green jacket to the winner, so it must have been really difficult for Spieth to...
And one that social media noted, too, that just the word was ouch.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. See you on Tuesday, Andrew.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the April 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Keith Holmes, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Sudan has one of the highest rates of malnutrition in the world. In addition to widespread chronic undernutrition, approximately 2 million children in Sudan are acutely malnourished due to ongoing insecurity and the resultant widespread displacement and reduced access to agricultural lands. High levels of acute food insecurity persist in Darfur, South Kordofan, and Blue Nile. To help save lives, reduce food insecurity, and stabilize nutrition rates, the U.S. Agency for International Development announced that it has provided nearly $68 million in emergency food assistance to Sudan. Since 2011, USAID has provided over $1 billion in food and nutrition assistance to the people of Sudan. USAID assistance will reach approximately 2.5 million Sudanese, as well as refugees from South Sudan and other neighboring countries. This aid will be delivered through the World Food Program, which will help address the complex emergency arising from conflict, natural disasters, and widespread displacement in Sudan, including those severely affected by the impacts of the weather pattern known as El Niño. In an effort to address the malnutrition rate in Sudan, which is the third highest in the world, USAID will provide fortified foods for malnourished children under age 5 and pregnant or lactating women, emergency school feeding programs and food distributions to the most vulnerable and food insecure populations. The strong El Niño drought effects have caused below-average plantings and harvests of staple and cash crops across Sudan, all of which will lead to higher demand for food in 2016. Humanitarian assistance needs will also be higher than usual, as the 2016 lean season began in March, 2 months earlier than usual. The projected number of acutely food-insecure people in Sudan is likely to reach 4.5 million during the peak lean season in 2016. Protracted conflict inside Sudan and in neighboring countries has increased the number of refugees and internally displaced people suffering from food insecurity in Sudan. Over 360,000 refugees reside in Sudan. Since December 2013, over 190,000 South Sudanese have arrived, fleeing violence in their country. Ongoing fighting in Darfur has displaced a total of 2.6 million people. Another 1.7 million are displaced by conflict in South Kordofan and Blue Nile states. As the largest international donor of humanitarian aid in Sudan, the United States is clearly committed to the well-being of the Sudanese people and generously provides needs-based assistance to all accessible areas and populations, including displaced and otherwise conflict-affected people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Let's Talk. Transportation in Africa. What are the common ways of transportation? Are they convenient? Join host Sandy Shomari and his guests discussing transportation in Africa. This lighthearted show covers topics of your interest. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa. Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the International Criminal Court and African leaders, as well as ICC's ruling on Kenya's Deputy President William Ruto. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.